Welcome to American Mosaic in VOA Special English. I'm Doug Johnson. On our show this week, we hear some music by a rock group with an unusual name, answer a question about the naming of hurricanes, and report about some popular American writers. On Saturday, September 24th, the Library of Congress will hold its fifth yearly National Book Festival in Washington, D.C. More than 80 writers, artists, and poets will be on the National Mall to talk about their work. Faith Lapidus tells us about three of them.
One of the writers at the National Book Festival this year is R.L. Stine. He writes books for children. Mr. Stine is well known around the world for his series of books called Goosebumps. The books have been translated into 32 languages. They are frightening and also fun. Titles of Goosebumps books include Welcome to Camp Nightmare and A Night in Terror Tower. R.L. Stine has been writing since he was a child. He wrote his first successful horror book in 1986. Goosebumps began in 1992. Today, he is working on three different book series. They are called Mostly Ghostly, Rotten School, and Fear Street. Another American writer at the book festival this year is popular around the world as well. Karen Slaughter's work is published in 23 different languages. Her books are about imaginary crimes that take place in a small town in the American South. The latest book in the series is called Faithless. Critics praise Karen Slaughter's books for developing characters that readers recognize as real. And they say the violence she describes clearly shows her anger at crimes against women and children. A third writer at the book festival is David McCullough. He writes about real people in American history. Mr. McCullough has won many writing awards, including the Pulitzer Prize. His new book is called 1776. It is about what he calls the most important year in the most important struggle in American history. It is the year that American colonial leaders approved the Declaration of Independence and demanded freedom from British rule. David McCullough says he tried to describe that year in the words of the people who lived through it. He used writings of soldiers in the colonial army to help tell the story. Critics say David McCullough's work helps readers experience historical events.
Our VOA question this week comes from listeners in India and Vietnam. Anand Kumar Busi and Hua Nguyen ask about the meaning of hurricane and Katrina. A hurricane is a violent ocean storm near the equator in the eastern Pacific or Atlantic Oceans in late summer or early autumn. The same kind of storm is also known by other names. Scientists call them cyclones when they happen just north or south of the equator and in the Indian Ocean. They are called typhoons in the Western Pacific Ocean or the China Sea. Weather scientists call hurricanes by names to make clear just which storm they are talking about, especially when two or more take place at the same time. They say using short names is especially important when exchanging storm information among weather stations and ships at sea. An Australian weather scientist began giving women's names to storms before the end of the 19th century. Weather scientists used the names of their girlfriends or wives for storms during World War II. The United States Weather Service started officially using women's names for storms in 1953. In 1978, it began including men's names as well. Today, scientists make up lists of names years in advance. They agree on them at meetings of the World Meteorological Organization. The lists include both American and international names. The United States National Hurricane Center near Miami, Florida, watches for the development of storms. It gives a name to each one that reaches a wind speed of 62 kilometers an hour. A different list of names is used each year. The first name begins with the letter A. The second begins with B, and so on. The same list will not be used again for at least 6 years. The names of storms used so far this year include Arlene, Brett, Cindy, Dennis, Emily, and Franklin, and the recent ones, Katrina and Ophelia. The names of storms that have caused extremely severe damage may be retired at the request of the country that was affected. That name will not be used again for at least 10 years. This is done to avoid legal problems or confusion. It may be reasonable to believe that the United States soon will ask that the name Katrina be retired. You can learn more about hurricanes on the special English program Science in the News on Tuesday, September 27th. A popular rock band has an unusual name, Death Cab for Cutie. The four young men in the group are from the western state of Washington. They took the unusual name from a song written by a British group from the 1960s. Barbara Klein has more.
Death Cab for Cutie is considered an indie or independent rock group. It is part of a movement of musicians who like to protect their artistic freedom. One way they do this is by remaining independent from major production companies. Death Cab for Cutie recorded its first albums with a small record company. Its latest album was released by the large company Atlantic Records. The musicians hope to show that a group can be successful and also keep total artistic control. The new album is called Plans. Its songs express the many qualities of love. Some songs are about the end of love. Others describe the way love survives through everything, even death. This song celebrates the joy of being in love. Here is Marching Bands of Manhattan.
If I could open my arms,
wrote and sings most of the songs on Plans. He says this is an album about growing up and understanding loss. Here he sings, "Someday You Will Be Loved."
I once knew a girl in the years of my youth, with eyes like the summer, all beauty and truth. But in the morning I fled, left a note and it read, "Someday you will be loved." I cannot pretend that I felt any regret, 'cause each broken heart will eventually mend. And as the blood runs red down the needle and thread, someday you will be loved. You'll be loved, you'll be loved, like you never have known. And the memories of me will seem more like bad dreams, just a series of blurs, like I never occurred. Someday you will be loved.
Death Cab for Cutie will be traveling throughout the United States and Canada this fall to play their latest music. We leave you now with a song that expresses love and undying loyalty. It is, "I Will Follow You Into the Dark."
Love of mine, someday you will die, but I'll be close behind. I'll follow you into the dark, no blinding light, or tunnels to gates of white, just our hands clasped so tight, waiting for the hint of a spark. If heaven and hell decide that they both are satisfied, and illuminate the nose on their vacancy signs, if there's no one beside you when your soul embarks, and I'll follow you into the dark.
I'm Doug Johnson. I hope you enjoyed our program. This show was written by Dana Dimange and Nancy Steinbach. Katie Weaver was the producer. Join us again next week for American Mosaic, VOA's radio magazine in special English.
If heaven and hell decide that they both are satisfied, illuminate the nose on their vacancy signs. If there's no one beside you when your soul embarks, then I'll follow you into the dark. You and me have seen everything to see, from Bangkok to Calgary, and the soles of your shoes are all worn down. The time for sleep is now, but it's nothing to cry about, 'cause we'll hold each other soon in the blackest of rooms. If heaven and hell decide that they both are satisfied, and illuminate the nose on their vacancy signs. If there's no one beside you when your soul embarks, then I'll follow you into the dark. And I'll follow you into the dark.